Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the day, Anthony Wood, and with me today is Seth Payne of Sports Radio 610. Seth, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Happy to be on with you.
Thank you very much for coming on. And let's get started. I mean, how can we start without addressing the elephant in the room? What's your impression been so far of this updated offensive line?
The offensive line, this has been my impression, and this is what happens every year during training camp. The first week, you start convincing yourself that all sorts of problems are fine. And then today happens, which is where the defense just handed the offense's butt to them in a lot of drills today. And I look, J.J. Watt looks great. D.J. Reader looks great. Charles Amenihu looks great. Not too many of the offensive linemen look great. So that's typical for early in camp. I think the offense a lot of times struggles, especially when you have a really good front seven like you do it with the Texans defense. But I think it's potentially going to be better than last year, but it's certainly not going to be the 1990s Dallas Cowboys.
That's a real shame. I have my hopes very, very high there. But, I mean, you mentioned obviously that the offensive line didn't look particularly good today. But, I mean, if we perhaps cast that to one side, up until now, what's been your impression of left tackle Matt Khalil? Do you think he could be a solid starter for the year? Or do you think it's more of he looks decent in training camp, but it may not translate to the actual season?
No, I think Matt Khalil could definitely be a solid starter. And I think you could probably say the same thing about him for the last 4 or 5 years. And it's just a matter of, is he healthy? So starting off the season, I actually am. I'm still more optimistic about this offensive line than I would have been 6 months ago. But I have to be realistic and say that Matt Khalil, when I've watched him and he's healthy over the past 3 or 4 years even, I thought he's had some good stretches. He's just also had some stretches where he obviously suffered from health issues and it affected his play on the field. And then Chantrell Henderson, who's your starting right tackle right now, I would say the exact same thing about. I think there's some real potential there, but one of those two guys, it's not likely that both of them are going to stay healthy. I do think that starting off your two top draft picks at left guard and right guard, and Titus Howard probably starting at left guard and Max Sharping starting at right guard, it's not ideal, but I think it might be a really good way for them to start off producing for the team more immediately. And they've looked relatively good for rookies so far.
So that's interesting. I mean, does that mean that you don't see either Kelemente or Fulton starting, do you think?
I think so far, I'll tell you, Fulton and Kelemente are just not on the same level as those two rookies, I think, athletically. I think in terms of upside potential, those two rookies can, as long as they absorb the offense and as long as they don't make a bunch of mental errors, I think they're going to get that chance to start. And so far, I don't know how much of this is health. I don't know how much of it is anything else, but it seems like from what I've noticed, Fulton is probably maybe being leaned on a little bit more than Kelemente at this point, but that's also that's very easy. That's very early in camp, but I could definitely see both those rookies starting at guards.
What about Nick Martin? I mean, he's the one player that most people tend to overlook, and I mean, myself included on that, we tend to just assume he's going to be starter week one, but I mean, he hasn't exactly lived up to, I guess, what we'd expected from a second round pick a couple years back. Do you think there's any chance that someone like Greg Manx or even Max Sharping could push for that center spot?
It's been interesting to watch early in camp because Nick Martin has been injured and out, and we're assured it's nothing serious, but he's standing there in workout clothes every single practice. So I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about Nick Martin. The one thing that I've noticed and a lot of other people have noticed is that the snaps have been consistently inconsistent, whether it's Nick Martin or Zach Fulton at center. And you realize and you remember, okay, yeah, I do like Greg Manx when he's in there, but maybe one of the differences between Manx and Martin is consistency with the snap. I'd have to go back and watch Manx and see if that was ever an issue before. That might be just an early in camp type thing because I don't recall that being an issue, but in the shotgun, it's not as consistent as with Nick Martin. I think that Nick Martin is a guy that, like any center in the league, needs to be able to rely on the guards next to him and also needs to have great communication with the guards next to him. And I don't think he's had that. And I think part of that is because of his youth up until, say, last year. And part of it is because he's been playing against guys that were new to the team and new to the system. And then maybe a little bit of it is either inadequate coaching or the coaching needs to be better. So I think that this year there's potential that we really see the best version of Nick Martin. And I try to always remind myself that he is still a relatively young player. He's a really bright kid. But this year is when it really should get to be, hey, you're the center on a complex offense. Really take charge up there.
Let's hope he can get back to health soon, because the last thing we need is another problem on that offensive line. I spoke to Jason Braddock yesterday very briefly, and we talked about Roderick Johnson, the former Browns offensive tackle. Have you seen anything from him recently? I mean, he was a former, fifth-round pick. I mean, he has some upside at least. I mean, what have you seen anything from him?
You know, I probably haven't seen him or noticed him as much as Jason has, but Jason watches. Jason watches very carefully. I'm always amazed by like how much he takes in and remembers and knows. I would say that I haven't noticed anything bad out of him. There are so many 6'7" offensive tackles on that team right now. So during OTAs, we were looking out and we're kind of thinking like, wow, Titus Howard looks small. He looks short. And you realize, no, he's 6'5". It's just all these offensive tackles are 6'7". And I think a lot of them have a chance. I think that Julian Davenport in a lot of ways looks better physically and athletically, but I haven't necessarily seen the improvements in technique and awareness that I want to see out of him. And he's had a few rough snaps out there. It's early in camp, but I think there perhaps is more of a competition for that fourth or fifth offensive tackle slash maybe guy that's inactive on Sunday. You know, Julian Davenport might be fighting more for his job this year than maybe we anticipated going into training camp.
Well, I was about to say, imagine that going from starter last year and going into the season, we were relatively optimistic at least that might be the year he jumped up, and then all of a sudden, look at him now, he might well be fighting to have a spot on the team. It's a real shame there to see that he hasn't developed as we'd hoped. One of the players that you mentioned earlier,
as I look at this offensive line, it's this strange scenario where you're not happy with the offensive line, and yet they also have a lot of hard decisions in depth. It's going to be hard to make this. It'd be like if you were going to if you're a young man or woman at a party where the male-female ratio is in your favor, but you didn't really love any of them at all. But somehow you knew it was still going to be hard to make the decision.
I love that metaphor. So moving on to the defense, I mean, one of the guys that you mentioned just now, DJ Reader, he's someone I know, JJ, for example, has mentioned quite a few times as someone that he thinks is underappreciated in that team. What have you seen from him other than today?
You know, the really cool thing about DJ Reader, and I've been able to notice it this year because they're not having camp up in West Virginia. I didn't get to go to camp last year. So really watching camp this year, it's been seeing the relationship between JJ Watt and DJ Reader.
Yeah.
That they are each other's partners in a lot of drills. JJ will stay after practice and do extra conditioning, and DJ is there with him. And what I'd hope to see from DJ this year is something that I know he has the potential to do, which is be more of an interior pass rush presence, because he uses his hands really well, and he actually has kind of a sneaky, sly quickness and can turn and flip his hips a little bit and get up into cracks on the offensive line. I think he has more potential there than he's shown so far, and he looks svelte. He looks a little bit lighter. I was talking to somebody out of practice today that's pretty good friends with him, and he says that he's probably about maybe 20 pounds lighter than where he was before. So I never ask these guys their exact weight because I don't want them to get them. A lot of times they don't know from day to day. So standing up next to DJ Reader yesterday, I did an interview with him. It seems like he's a little bit lighter, and if that translates into a better pass rush on the inside, that would be really cool, which is also, I'm trying to figure out what Charles Omenihue is right now, because I think there's some potential there. He's got really good hands for a young defensive player, for a rookie. He shows flashes of some real ball playing ability and instinct, but he also looks a little stiff at times. So I don't know what he is athletically yet. I'm excited to watch him in the games to see if he can be another element to that interior pass rush.
I mean, do you think that's more just a case of a rookie adjusting to the NFL, or do you think that's something that he might really have to work on and could be an issue with him going down the road?
I think it's the way he plays. I don't know if it's natural. Like, I don't know if it's a, like, if he's naturally stiff, but I noticed at college he plays upright at times. But in doing so, he still uses his hands really well, and he's country strong. Like, he's, I don't know what the over there. Well, I'm sorry, man. Are you British or are you Irish?
I'm British.
You're British, okay. I that's what I assumed, but then I didn't want to insult you. So I don't know what the idiom would be for country strong, but over here you say country strong. It looks like he's a big farmhand.
Yeah.
Like he could throw 800 bales of hay over a mountain. That's what he looks like. So you can get away with that in college sometimes. The guys that are really strong naturally don't have to play low. So now I'm waiting to see if he kind of makes that transition. And a lot of times it's after a couple of games where you see it live action, I was like, oh, wow, I got to get my pads lower. But he's got something there. I'm waiting to see what it develops into.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it because I really do think he could be a late-round steal. And it's funny that you mentioned the accent there because I get mistaken for Australian a lot of the time, which I really don't hear myself. But there you go. So obviously the
I don't hear it, but I was talking to an Australian woman at practice today, so I'm a little too close to I could hear the difference there.
So obviously the Texans are heading to Green Bay early next week for their first preseason game. Which battles are you most looking forward to seeing in these joint sessions and in the game itself?
To beat a dead horse, I would say I want to watch the offensive line versus a Mike Pettin defense. Because Mike Pettin, I really like Mike Pettin's defenses, and I like, you know, in terms of individual matchups, sometimes it's hard to see exactly or to get exactly what you want in the preseason. But Mike Pettin shows a lot of different looks. He disguises things well. He makes things really difficult for the offense mentally, and that's been one of the biggest issues with this offensive line. It's not just that they haven't had, like, studs out there manhandling people. A lot of times with an offensive line, it's kind of like the Hippocratic Oath. First, you want to do no harm. Like, you just first get the play right, don't make many mental errors, and then you can actually get some things accomplished. I think that if they can handle their business mentally versus that Mike Pettin, the defensive coordinator for the Packers, versus that defense, I'd feel good about that. The other thing, and boy, this is what I've been excited about more than anything, man. Having Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, and Kiki out there. Oh, if you're worried about the offensive line, just know that Kiki QT will solve a lot of those issues because he'll have options early in the down. You know, like, oh, hey, DeAndre holds onto the ball too long. Yeah, because the tight ends are pass blocking and nobody else is getting open quickly. Like, Kiki takes care of a lot of that. So that's what I'm excited about seeing is just however much work those guys get together versus the starters in those practices. I hope we get some really good reports from that.
I'm glad you mentioned the tight end situation because that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing against Green Bay is I want to see Thomas get some snaps, hopefully, if he's healthy. I want to see Waring get some more snaps as well and Akins. I really do like that trio. I mean, are you keen on any of them in particular? Do you think any of them have to impress particularly well?
I think they are all very much in competition with each other for playing time, but I don't think that any of those three are in danger of missing out on making the roster. I mean, you can see the potential in all of them. The really curious thing is that I think Darren Fells, the free agent that came over, is the best blocker amongst the four of them.
Yes.
That he might make a strong case to have four tight ends, you know, and I don't know. If he plays well enough, maybe Kahale Waring becomes a guy that becomes an IR stash or something. But I feel as good about this tight end group as I have in a long time. And a lot of it goes down to Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins. Like, we saw the potential last year, but we saw them play like rookies at times. They look a lot smarter. They look a lot more comfortable out there this year. So if you can just turn them into complete tight ends and then Kahale Waring can be used in some respect, where he can really show his athleticism. That's another potential. Hey, look, Deshaun got more options than just DeAndre and a converted quarterback.
So
you know, we can actually do something out here.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. I think it's definitely a stronger group than we've had over the past couple of years. One of the players that I know we heard a lot from yesterday at the press conference was obviously veteran Jonathan Joseph. Now, here's my question for you. He's 22 defended passes off of the NFL record of 203 held by Champ Bailey. Do you think this year he could possibly hit that target?
So he's got 22. What's the record?
He's got 181, so he's 22 off of Champ Bailey's 203.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy, 22 is a lot to get in a season, though, isn't it?
It's a bit of a push.
He'd have to play two more years. I'll tell you this. I think the Texans, you know, just gave him a little bump in pay. And Joseph is at a stage in his career where he loves playing football, but I'm not so sure that he has to play football.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think financially he definitely doesn't have to, but he also, I think he chose to stay in Houston where he could have taken more money at Oakland or elsewhere last year. I think he likes being here. He's not interested in, like, he's not one of these guys, like, he's not like Verlander that needs to play until he's 45 and that's his goal, or Tom Brady. So I would imagine that if this year goes well, then I'd expect Jonathan Joseph to be back next year. If this year somehow, like, derails and goes down in flames, Jonathan Joseph might just pack it in and call it a career. So let's say this. I'll tie it to the over-under with the Texans. If the Texans win 10 games and a first-round playoff game, then I predict that Jonathan Joseph will be back next year and that he will break that deflected passes record.
Now, I spoke to one of your former teammates, Jason Bell, just a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of curious about this. He mentioned that you two used to swap seats on flights so that he could sit with the veterans and you with the younger players. I mean, I've got to ask, why on earth were you willing to give up what I'm sure was a much quieter seat?
I remember, it's funny that Jason remembers that, because I vaguely remember it. And I think it was one of those things where a lot of times, you know, people, they've got their friendships on flights, and probably by the time that happened, there was a year where there was a lot of transition, and I'd sat next to Kylie Wong forever on the team flight, and for whatever reason, Kylie wasn't there anymore, and I think I just said, screw it, but, you know, whoever wants to sit anywhere in my seat, go ahead and take it. And I'll go up and sit with the young guys and maybe impart a little bit of wisdom to them. I always felt really weird about trying to pull veteran status with anything on a football team. I think I always, when I was a young player, I had a lot of veterans that were really, really good guys that didn't have huge egos or anything. And I, like, always remembered and appreciated that. So as I got older, I really tried to treat younger guys with respect as much as I could. And I guess this would go probably in any profession or any walk of life. You don't realize sometimes how much more you know than the younger people in your field. And it's sometimes just by being around them and having conversations with them, they take a lot from it. So I got into, like, my 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year in the league. I always wanted to be that guy that people would remember fondly, or is it somebody that helped them? And it's actually, it's one of the best things I took from the NFL. Because, like, okay, everybody, you can talk about glory or fame or money or just, you know, just playing on TV or any of that stuff. And it's all awesome. But probably, like, the things that I'm most appreciative of is every now and then some player that was a young guy when I was an older guy on a team, either from college or the NFL, will tell me a story that I don't remember about a time I was kind to him. And it was like, I feel like I'm, like, it's an annuity that's paying off, you know, and it really means a lot. It's one of the, it's one of the nicest investments you can make for your old age, is to just help younger people out. and then later on, just kind of watch them flourish and succeed and know that you had a small part in doing something about it.
Well, it clearly left its mark on Jason, because, I mean, his instant reaction was, Seth's my guy. I remember him saying that specifically during the podcast. So
it's been really cool. Always, it's been really cool to watch Jason do all this stuff with NFL Europe, or however the phrasing of it. He was always one of those guys as a young player that just had a certain vivaciousness about him. You're like, all right, I want to be around this guy because he makes me feel positive. So he's perfect for television.
Absolutely. He's absolutely great to speak to. And speaking of fellow journalists, I asked Aaron Wilson this the other day, just to close out. And obviously, going to Green Bay, they're going to hopefully be cycling to training all the players. And I said to him, would you like to do it? And he said, well, I'd more than happily race JJ there. So here's my question for you. If you get the opportunity, will you also cycle to training, and will you take on a race with Aaron possibly?
Unfortunately, I'm not going up there this year because our show would have been so far away. My morning show just wouldn't have matched up with how we needed to operate up there. So it's just going to be our afternoon show. I totally 100% would. And I think that's going to be, that's one of those moments. Like every now and then when you're playing, you have these moments where you remember what it was like when you were a kid. Yep. Like I grew up a Bills fan. So when I got to play against Thurman Thomas, I was a younger player at the time, so I was still kind of in a state of awe.
That must have been amazing.
But, oh, yeah, like I got to tackle Thurman Thomas, and then one time I tried to tackle him, and I dislocated my shoulder. but you do that against one of your boyhood heroes. It's really, really cool. And I would imagine for JJ to see one of those things, you know, from that iconic moment from that iconic team, that's going to be pretty special. JJ. These last couple of years he's just made that normal transition.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around, he's seen a lot. He knows what's important and what isn't important. He knows what he cares about and what he doesn't care about. And it's really been cool to watch him transition into that. And I would imagine like he probably is going to appreciate that riding a bike to practice at the Packers camp a lot more now than he might have when he was in his second or third year.
Absolutely, it's going to be fantastic to watch. Seth, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to get going. How can our listeners find you on social media?
At Seth C. Payne on Twitter. That's pretty much the only social media platform I'm on. And Texans Wire is on my Texans list on my Twitter account. When I'm trying to curate things more carefully these days so I don't get as much trash on social media. So you are one of my sources for stuff to talk about in the morning. If you want to listen to Texans, a lot of Texans talk, you can download the radio.com app and look up Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And that's the real smooth and easy way to listen to our show in the mornings from 6 to 10 a.m.
Certainly will. Thank you very much for joining us once again. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Find me on social media at ARWoodNFL. Of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at Texas Wire USA Today, or of course at Sports Radio 610. Thank you very much for listening.